3, 2, 1. Good evening, class. What a privilege it is to once again be here in the training center to share with you under the apostolic guidance of Apostle Leroy Thompson and the royal family. I'm so thankful for him as always. Tonight, we're going to kind of pick up from where we left off on last Tuesday. This year, class is going to be a lot different because we're going to start towards the end and then head back to the beginning to show you how we got here. So once again, we're going to be teaching you tonight from chapter number 17, Times of Reformation. And then we'll move into the times of the revivalists, because I want you to understand where we are in history and the things that God is doing, because the church right now is going through a reformation. And so I have some other information that I'd like to share with you, but let's get started. Holy Spirit, help us tonight. Give us ears to hear, eye to see, a heart to believe the things that you had prepared for those that love you. And we thank you that the Holy Spirit, the revealer of all truth, searches all things and reveal unto us, yea, the deep things of God, so that we can walk in them. Amen. Chapter number 17, the sixth stage of revival, times of reformation. The times of reformation has to do with reforming the structure, the purpose, and the belief system of the church. Reformation is about the reforming of the church, religion, tradition, church ideologies that contradict the canon of Scripture. There's going to be a restoration of apostolic structure and church government. Apostolic wisdom is being released upon the church to help the church to become more committed to eternal values and purposes. God's wisdom is building the church to become formidable fortresses made impregnable to satanic invasion. The times of reformation has to do with the reforming of the society that's around us. The revival brings forth God's consciousness upon the society. And when the revival breaks out, crime rates drop in the society. Marriages and marriage is held in honor. And family values are restored. Dramatic changes in lives where sinners are transformed into holy saints. Much community work and projects get organized, and people begin to relate and help each other with their respective jobs. The spiritual climate and atmosphere over the city is conducive for widespread evangelistical efforts. The times of reformation are also times when breakthroughs in science, medicine, and literature takes place. It is time when music takes place into its relevant mode fitting this generation. Many scientific and medical breakthroughs happen during the supernatural visitations of God upon this society. The times of Reformation are times when the whole society is so deeply affected by the spiritual outpouring that their business dealing becomes godly. A greater level of integrity is seen while dealing with one another. Often a high level of sacrifice and generosity is seen during revival. The times of Reformation often see a proper distribution of food and bare necessities to those who are less unfortunate in the society. And social care and concern for the poor rates up high during the times of Reformation. Now let me share a couple of things with you, because back in 1517, there was a German priest, I believe, by the name of Martin Luther, and he began a movement that, you know, we refer to as the Protestant movement, because as this priest began to read and study God's word, he began to see that Catholicism and their teachings was not lining up with what the word of God was teaching. Some of the things you may be familiar with. Now, we're talking about times of Reformation, because I see the same thing happening in today's generation. For example, one of the things that Martin Luther pointed out was that I know we have the priesthood here in the Catholic Church, but my studies show that all of God's children are kings and priests under him. Another thing he brought forth was that man is justified by faith alone in Jesus Christ. We don't do good deeds to earn privileges with God. We must believe God and exercise faith, and that's how we're justified. So he confronted a lot of issues. There's no such thing as a purgatory where you go and get better. No, he had to confront, I believe they say he went and put 95 pieces on the church door saying, this is what the word of God say. This is what your traditions say. We need to go to the word of God. So the word Protestant, if you look at it, it has inherent in it protest. So literally, this man of God was protesting things that didn't line up with what the word of God was saying. And we can go a lot deeper, but there's another book that Apostle had given to us. I believe it was Understanding the Apostolic. And I want to share this excerpt from that book that deals with times of Reformation. The most powerful move of God since the birthing of the church on the streets of ancient Jerusalem is sweeping across the nations of the earth, engulfing the church in a fresh new mantle of power, purpose, and deliberate strategic activities. The end of all things is now definitely in sight. It's no longer just a concept at the outer limits of our faith, but it is now an attainable and reachable goal to this mighty generation. This great move of God is called the Apostolic Reformation. This is the restoration of apostolic government and apostolic ministry in the church on a level that has never been seen before. See, Jesus took 12 men who he ordained to be apostles and made them responsible for doctrine. What is doctrine? The established order of God. If there's going to be any established order of God, it would come through apostolic ministry and apostolic government. The first gift that Jesus gave and the first gift that God set. The apostle is first in rank in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that opens up the portals of heaven by establishing doctrine. What is doctrine? The established order of God. What you believe should be based upon the apostles' doctrine, the things that Jesus taught and imparted unto them. Okay? Number two, you know, the scriptures say all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's God breathed. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for what? Instruction. So doctrine is the what? Established order of God. Then we got reproof, which is the dismantling of what? Erroneous teaching and thinking. See, that's what Reformation is about. For example, Reformation that's taking place in our generation. God raised up even the apostle that we serve. We begin to hear a message on grace. And that message on grace, while it has a whole bunch of scripture that would make it seem like it's so, you must all take in the full counsel of God. You know, grace don't mean we can do anything and get away with it. Grace don't mean I can do anything and because it's grace, God gonna forgive me. For the scriptures teach that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching them. So grace is a what? Teacher. Teaching them that what? Denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live righteously, godly, and soberly in this present world. Are you listening? Jesus said, Paul said, in Romans 6:1, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What does he say? God forbid. So we must correct this erroneous teaching because it's not apostolic in nature. It's for itching ears, for people who don't understand that God wants us to live, conduct, and regulate our lives by faith, connecting to grace, which causes us to live righteously, holy in this present world. Thank you for your enthusiasm. God say, be ye holy for I'm holy. Then we have, you know, people don't believe in wealth. Some kind of way the church have gotten away from wealth. But God is using our apostle to say, no, wealth belong to us. It's our birthright. We should have had our money for we shouted. But the church is right now in the midst of this pandemic. We need to have understanding about wealth. And then 5-6 years ago, he got stirred up by the Spirit to teach us on health. All of these things, Reformation is to bring us back to God's original plan. God's original way of doing things. So we're right smack dab in the middle of the greatest reformation in this church age, where the apostle and the prophet, the first two gifts that were given and set, are the last that's being restored to bring in governmental grace and to correct the error in teaching and thinking. Then we have correction, right? What is correction? It is the assimilation of truth in our what? Thought process. The assimilation of truth. And then we have instruction, which is the systematic application of God's word in our lives. You're going to see that again, so pay attention to it. Okay, let's go on. In every move of God, there is an activating truth. Luther's move in the middle of the 16th century was activated by the restoration of the truth of justification by faith and the priesthood of all believers. The Pentecostal move of God, which was birthed in the United States at the start of the 20th century, was signified by the activation of the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking with other tongues. Now, why is that important? Because that was started by a man by the name of William Seymour, a man of color. See, we sometimes think because the color of a man's skin mean he right. And sometime because of all of this foolishness that's in the world, skin tone and skin color, let me tell you something about when God calls a man and separates him to himself, you don't get to pick what color the package come in. William Seymour was a man of color, and he ushered in the Azusa Street Revival, where the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues gave birth to many of the most powerful ministries in the earth realm today. It was so powerful that many of those ministries, such as the Church of God in Christ, birthed by Apostle Mason, Charles Mason. I know they called him bishop, but he was more than a bishop. He was a modern day apostle. And God is the one who gave him the name of the Church of God in Christ. Unfortunately, through apostolic succession, many of them are not packing the same what he was packing, because oftentimes men want to take it another way. We have a modern day apostle with us. How do I know he's a modern day apostle? Because when a man is a modern day apostle, God will give him a message that's for the entire body of Christ. Money cometh in nature is both apostolic and prophetic. Nowhere in this earth realm have we ever heard that God would give a man these two words in a grocery store when he went to get apples and oranges for a juicer, set it up where he could meet a man at the register checking out, opening up his billfold with a piece of money in it as he was purchasing a 8-pack of beer, and looking back at our apostle and saying to him, money sure do go it. And him agreeing with him by nodding his head, yeah. And then when he gets to the car, God is in the car meeting him and asks him, what did you say in that store? What did you say? And you know what he's trained us, that when you agree with somebody, you might as well have said it yourself. And he said when he got in that car and he began to repeat what he told that man, he said he went to tell that man, money goeth. But before he can get goeth, the prefix of goeth, out of his belly sprung forth, money cometh. And he said on the third time, something broke loose in him. Then he went on and years later, preaching in camp meeting in Tulsa, Oklahoma, when his spiritual father, Reverend Kenneth E. Hagin, Sr., a prophet who started Rhema Bible Training Center, when God spoke to him and said, Dr. Thompson, he will be preaching at the 2 o'clock service. And he ran into the hotel room, say, oh, Lord, have mercy. I got to get before God to get what he want me to share. And God, in camp meeting, told him, go out there and share with them the words I gave you in that car, my goodness. And him standing out said these words when he got up to preach. This will be the largest offering ever to be received at the 2 o'clock meeting. And camp meeting history, 20 years. Are you listening? And he don't even go into a lot of text. He just start telling the story of money coming. And men and women begin to get up and walk, bringing money to the altar. Thank you for your enthusiasm. And he said he saw them marching and he said, what they doing? I didn't make an altar call. But he said he noticed when they came, they all had money in their hand and they sat it on the altar. And in fact, it was the largest offering ever to be received at that 2 o'clock service in camp meeting history. Why? Because the apostolic and prophetic words of money cometh that was given to him. Are you listening? Are you listening? That was given to him. God has now released it all over the world. And I am, and many of you are partakers of the apostolic grace of money coming. People's lives around the globe are being changed because money cometh is reforming the way we think about money. I hope you see it. So those are just two things. Then he talked about health coming to the body of Christ. And then he began to prepare us with this marvelous insight that most Christians, our problem is not sin with sin. Our problem is with the soul. Are you listening? And we learned that the inner man is the soul. My goodness. So all of these things has to do with this reformation that's taking place with the restoration of apostolic ministry and apostolic government. Go ahead. The apostolic reformation is activated by the restoration and the general acceptance in the church of apostolic ministry once again in the body of Christ. Apostles have always been, say that, always been in the church. You want to know why? Because it's the foundation. You cannot build the building without the proper foundation. And the church is built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself, being the chief cornerstone. He is the glue that's holding it all together. So the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher must all be connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he connects them through the first gift that he gave. You remember when Peter got that marvelous revelation that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God? And Jesus said unto him, Matthew 16, 13, you read it all the way through it. Jesus said, and I say unto you, Peter, upon this rock, the rock of revelation, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood had not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And upon this rock, I will build my church. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Well, how did Jesus build the church? By giving it gifts. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. Why did he give them? For the perfecting, for the maturing of the saints. For the what? For the work of the ministry. And then here it comes, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ until we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son, unto a perfect man, unto the full stature of Christ. I may not be quoting it all right, but you understand where I'm going. That's why he gave those gifts. And here's something that I'll share with you. It may sound simple, but all of the gifts, apostle, prophet, teacher, in the order that God gave them, you find them in the apostle. He said in the church, first, apostles. A, secondarily, prophets. P, thirdly, teachers. T, A-P-O-S, T, L, E. After that, gifts of healing, working of miracles, that's your evangelist. Thank you. Then he say helps and government. That's pastoral. So you want to know how I got it? A, apostle. P, for prophet. T, for the teacher. E, for the evangelist. Swing back around. A, and P, pastor. Don't get upset. So all of those gifts find their relevance in connecting to the apostle, because it's the first gift Jesus gave, and he trained 12 men whom he ordained to be apostles and sent them out two by two into every city where he himself would go. I tell you, Reformation is here. Go ahead. Now we're moving on to chapter number 18, Times of the Revivalists. The book of Acts is the acts of the Holy Spirit through certain apostles. These men were the greatest product of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Hold on one second. Let me say this. In order to have reformation, you got to have a reformer. And the purpose of reformation and the reformer is to bring reform. In my studies, what I notice about the word reform, it is to correct error. It is to make things better. If things are off track, it's to bring them on track. If things have been drifted away from God's original plan, is to bring it back to what God said, watch this, from the beginning. For example, in Matthew Gospel chapter number, I believe it is 17, maybe it's 19, where they begin to question Jesus about these seven brothers who married, they begin to talk to him about divorce. They begin to talk about divorce, how that Moses permitted, it's in Matthew 19, Moses permitted them to get a divorce. And Jesus said, well, from the beginning, it was not so. Moses only permitted divorce because of the hardness of your soul. You didn't want to do what God said. So Moses permitted you to get divorced out of the hardness of your heart, not because it was God's will. Don't get it twisted. Y'all got it? So Reformation says, no, you're married for life. To death do you part. Not till she burn the beans. Okay, go ahead. The miracle of healing, signs and wonders and supernatural abilities were all overshadowed by the fact that these ordinary men were manifesting God in the human body. I can't let that go. Do you understand that Jesus is the incarnate Word? He was God that was made flesh, but he did not operate as God in the earth realm. He operated as a man anointed by God, the Holy Spirit. And so when Jesus would allow the Father to perform miracles through him and by him, that's what I said, then the people would glorify God who gave such power to men. That's where we headed back to. That's why you don't see many superstars in the church today, where people are flocking to meetings like we go and see a superstar. No, God says, I have people who may have 12 members that's packing power. And you need to find them. Because it's not based upon numerics. It's based on calling, gifting, and obedience. The gifts, the callings of God are without repentance. Go ahead, read. The greatest product of this end time revival is going to be the manifestation of these men, full of the Holy Ghost and full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost and full of faith. And we're talking about an ownership faith here. We're talking about a knowing faith here. We're talking about a people who know their God, who know that faith is instructions that God give you to bring forth and to manifest all that God want accomplished in the earth realm. Never forget that. That's why without faith, it's impossible to please God. We should not be doing nothing if God didn't say. St. John 6:63, it's the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you. We need more men and women hearing from God, where they come to you saying, thus said the Lord. When you study the Old Testament and you look at the ministry of the prophet, you would always hear phrases like, and the word of the Lord came unto Elijah saying, get thee down to Zarephath, for there I commanded a widow woman to sustain you. Now, how crazy is that? God commanded a prophet to go find a woman who got a handful of meal. Are you listening? And a small cruse of oil, and she getting sticks that she may go bake the cake for her and her son to die. But God said, get down to Zarephath, for there I commanded a widow woman to sustain you. What are you saying, Dr. Walker? None of that manifested without God speaking to his servant. I know you don't see this, but that's now faith is. Because in order to function in faith, you got to have words spoken to you. Those words are promises. Thank you. That God makes. Because when God wants to make a promise, he gives you a what? Word. Are you listening? And you know how it came out, just as God told it. Go ahead, we got to move on. There's no revival. There's no revival without a revivalist, and there was no reformation without a reformist. No revival can gather momentum without a revivalist. A revivalist does not just carry, it's not carried by a revival wave. Oh, a revivalist is not carried by a revival wave. a revivalist creates a revival wave. Oh, hold up here. Money cometh is a revival. Oh, Lord. Listen to me. You in this school, everything about your financial life is changing. By reason of connection, by reason of sitting up under this covering, by reason of receiving the gift. When you receive the gift, the man, Apostle Leroy Thompson, Sr., then you receive the grace of apostleship that's upon his life. That's why Paul in Philippians 4 spoke to the church at Macedonia. He said, time and again, once and again, you are the only ones who communicated with me concerning my necessities. You are the only ones who communicated with me concerning giving and receiving. Paul went on to say, not because I wanted a gift from you, not because I wanted money from you, I wanted to cause money to come to you. Paul said, I receive your seed as fruit that will abound to your account. Not that I need it, for I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Now watch the words he said in Philippians 4:19. Because you obeyed God and did your part. Now my God, the one who gave me the assignment and told me to go preach and don't take nothing with me. Now my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. When Jesus sent the 12 out, apostolic government, he sent them out. He said, don't take scrip, don't take staff, don't take no purse with gold in it. Don't bring two pair of shoes. Don't bring two coats. Because the laborer is worthy of his hire. And then you read again, I believe it's in Matthew 22, where Jesus told them, when you went out, when I sent you forward with this apostolic grace in ministry, did you lack anything? They say, no, Lord, we didn't lack nothing. You won't know why? Because who God calls, he equips. And whatever vision God gives, he provides for. And here's something you need to know. Get this out of your mind. There are no broke apostles. When Jesus said how hard it is for a rich man to enter into heaven, the apostles were astonished. They made a statement saying, then, Lord, who could be rich? Because they understood that wealth was a part of the covenant. Now, children, we're going to stop right here, and we'll pick up with times of revivalists in our next session. Enjoy your evening.